Hello, friends and future friends. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. We're at the Wonderland Ballroom. This is our first show with me since April at the Wonderland Ballroom. We've had two since I've left. The first one was okay. Adam Friedland guest hosted. It was an all right show. And then there was one that happened last week, which the show is now lost to the ether. It will never be released. It was one of the worst experiences and best experiences for anybody in the room. I was in the room for about half the time, and it made me question why I'm doing this show. Hi, how you doing? It's going to be weird. I'll do my best to make it enjoyable for you, I promise. If it's not, I'm real sorry, and I'll buy you a drink. So no matter what, we're all going to be best friends at the end of the night. Anyways, it made me question why the fuck we do this. And the whole point of this talk show, the whole point, I think, of any show should be to bring people together and to make the world a better party. The good things about parties are like both sexes. That's good. Lots of different races. That's good. Conversations about things people are passionate about. These are all good things. That's why we do the talk show. And when the talk show is good, that's exactly what happens. Interesting people talk about their interesting things that they do. You learn about them, and we make jokes, and we laugh at death. Sometimes you want to die when you're in the room at the show, and I don't want to repeat that again. So tonight's going to be a little bit different. Rather than having our normal lineup, we're going to talk to about six performers that are all very talented people that have all been on the show before. I respect each and every one of them. And then this amazing musician's going to play some songs at the end of the night. So that's going to be sort of the theme of the show. Adam Friedland, let's get you up here right now. Adam Friedland... If you've listened to the show, you know I love Adam Friedland. You know I think he's one of the funniest people in Washington, D.C. I try to give him an opportunity to do whatever he wants to do every single week of the year. So, Adam, here, will you take a seat right here, and I'm going to hand you this microphone? Okay, so Adam Friedland, the reason why Adam Friedland is up on stage first is Adam Friedland played producer last week of You, Me, Them, Everybody. What that means is he was the guy that helped the band set up, helped the comic set up the stage, and also recorded the show.
I was Harvey Weinstein last week.
He was... That's executive producing. Anyways, so I left the show about halfway through because I had to go do wedding stuff. That's why I wasn't hosting the show.
Are you getting married?
I'm getting married. Thank you.
Oh, nice.
You did the very nice thing, which was close the show for me.
Yeah.
I got a lot of strange text messages after the show.
Well, close as in just take your audio recorder.
Take the audio equipment, collect the money, leave, make sure everybody had a good time. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I left, a very, very funny stand-up comic named Ahmed, who will be up here later, was doing a very great job with a very hostile audience.
Yeah.
And some of those hostile audience members... Thank you so much. One of those hostile audience members wanted to kick the shit out of me. I knew this because he said, I'm going to kick the shit out of that guy, and then pointed at me.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew bad things were going
to
happen.
They were going to kick the shit out of you because you asked them politely to be quiet.
One of their friends is a stand-up comic who I recognized from the open mic that I used to host at Sally's. And I go, hey, aren't you that stand-up comic I used to see at Sally's?
Right.
He goes, yes. I go, are you still doing stand-up? He goes, yes. I go, please shut up. These guys are trying to do their thing. Please shut up. And then his friends were very upset by that.
Right. Okay. I think just to rewind, Michael booked the show last week.
Michael Foodie.
He doesn't know bands, so he just put on Twitter, I need a band for a show I'm running.
That is the worst way to book a band.
And he got one response from a band.
We're not going to say their names.
I didn't know who the band was the whole show. I just knew that there were these three bros in the middle of the room. They were getting tanked, and they were saying, like, ha-ha, funny joke, asshole. Like, they were just heckling the whole time.
Yes.
And then they threatened you. And then, after David Mocktoy, DC comedy legend, performed and left the stage, I sort of looked around the room, and I was like, all right, so who is the band? And then the three guys that were being dicks the whole time picked up instruments, and I was like, oh my god, that's the band. And so I didn't want to give them, like, I didn't want to listen to their shitty music, so I left the stage, I went outside, I came back in about 15 minutes later, and I walked into Vietnam. Like,
all right, well,
and I'm not saying like sunny vacation Vietnam, I'm talking about Hanoi Hotel, John McCain getting electrodes connected to his nipples. I'm talking about the shit, okay? I was in the shit. We were all in the shit.
I was gone by this point.
The horror.
Why did Vietnam occur?
So this band was on stage. Michael didn't know how to tell them to connect their bass to the PA. So the guy was wearing a bass as fashion. another gentleman was playing acoustic guitar. Like, and I learned acoustic guitar when I was 21, when a girl dumped me. And I can play chords, but I don't have that musical talent that you get mm-hmm. when you learn to play an instrument as a kid. And he was playing worse than me. Yeah. So I was like, okay, these are bad bands.
Yes.
And their music, and then there was a drummer playing one snare drum with a brush. And their music, first of all, there was a lyric in one of their songs that made me almost pee my pants. This is, and I quote, a lyric from one of their songs, "And I will write you letters from the fabric of my sweaters." That was one of their lyrics.
I don't think the lyrics were the biggest problem of the night.
So they're playing their shitty music, and I'm like, all right, we'll wait for them to be done. They're like, "We're fucking done with this show. Fuck everyone. Fuck you. Fuck Brandon Weatherby. Fuck everything."
And how do they find out my name? I never talked to these
Michael,
guys.
Michael, they're like, "Whose show is this?" And someone shouted out Brandon Weatherby. They're like, "Fuck that guy. Fuck him. Fuck this whole place. Fuck you guys. This show sucks." Anyway, the band wants to leave. And then the guitarist slash lead singer slash ostensibly the lyricist. I hope those were his lyrics. He's like, "No, I'm going to stay on stage. I got one more song." And he starts playing the chords to Neutral Milk Hotel. That's the fucking G, E minor, C, D. Like the first song anyone ever fucking learns ever. Like a fucking... He's playing it like he knows how... Like he's fucking Jesus Christ. And he's like, "Fuck Brandon Weatherby. Fuck the show. Fuck everyone." And then... they're being pretty disrespectful, so I cut the mics.
You just cut the mics.
I cut the audio. The guy was left on stage just be like, "Fuck you, fuck every..." You know, like, he wasn't mic'd. They leave the stage. The drummer was intensely intoxicated.
Yes.
He was very drunk. And he went up to Michael Foody and he was like, "Listen, you little bitch, I'm going to beat your ass." He was, like, saying all this stuff. He's like, "Fuck you, like, this show sucks." And then, so Michael is a non-confrontational individual. So he was just saying, like, "Little do you know, 40,000 people download this podcast every week. Like, you have no idea how big of an audience you're embarrassing yourself in front of." Which is, I don't know, maybe that's true. I don't know. But, I hope it's true. But, Michael separates himself. And I was fulfilling my one job of the night.
Yes.
Which is to collect the audio recorder, right?
Yes.
So I have the audio recorder in my hand, and the drummer comes up to me, and he's like, "I'm gonna fucking sue you, bro." And then I was like, "For what? Like, in court? You don't even know my name. Like, who would you sue? Like, in a court of law? Like, what are you... what are you talking about?" And he's like, "You don't have my permission to put this on the fucking internet, Weatherby." And I'm like, I'm not that person. I'm just the guy that's collecting this audio recorder. That's my only job of the night. So he's like, "Fucking delete it. Delete it right now in front of me." So I was like, I can't delete it. The rest of the show is on it. So I'd be deleting the rest of the show. So he grabbed the audio recorder from my hands and he started pulling at it, and we started a tug of war for the audio recorder. And he said, "Listen, you little Jew, give me the fucking audio recorder right now." And then I did something that I haven't done since third grade when Leo Banchik called me a loser when we were playing wall ball. But I had some fisticuffs.
Yeah.
I shoved him into a wall. I shoved him into that wall right over there. I shoved him, and then Ahmed came up. He was my backup guy. He was separating me. And then I was just like, and then once I basically, this guy was a lot bigger than me. Once the one push had been exchanged, the Wonderland staff, props to the Wonderland staff.
Thank you, Dario.
Dario.
Thanks to Wonderland.
Everyone involved grabbed the dude and dragged him out of the bar. But like the whole time there he was being dragged out, I kept yelling at him like, "You guys rock!" Like, and then I was like, "Let's go outside in 69, bro. We're going to 69 each other." Like, I was like, I was kind of like heckling him on his way out. And yeah, so I did it for me. I did it for Michael Foody. I did it for my family. I did it for the Jewish people, the 6 million Jewish people.
Thank you.
That died. I got a medal from the state of Israel. They sent me a medal for standing up for Jewish people's rights everywhere. I'm in the Montgomery County Jewish newspapers. I'm a folk hero, basically.
Well, thank you for defending both my name
and the podcast. I mainly did it for the show,
the podcast, and everything. I can't promise that will never happen again. Well, I will do my damnedest.
I told my dad.
Again.
I called
you told
my
your dad.
Dad. Yeah, because my girlfriend my girlfriend wasn't there, and I was like, oh, this is such a waste. Like. Like, I really wanted her to think that I'm a hard body. And, like, I really wanted her to think that, you know, I could throw down anytime that I want to. But she wasn't there. So I texted her. I was like, just got into a fight. Like, so sick. Like, whatever. And she just texted me back, you're a fucking idiot. And then I called my dad. And my dad was like, I thought he was going to be like, oh, you're living this wild life of comedy clubs in bars late at night. I thought he was going to criticize me, but he was like, yeah, that's I've been in that situation before, and that's what a man has to do when he's in that situation.
Thank you to Adam Freeland's father for being a man and teaching his son how to be a man.
Never again.
Never again. Well, next week we'll be back to the regular show. You'll be back to doing normal stuff.
Wait, you're having a show next week?
Next week, there's five.
Oh, okay, cool.
And you'll be back here next week. You have to run. So thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for defending the show. Maria, let's get you up here. I got an email from that band the following day at 10:59 a.m. I'm going to read that email. Brandon, I want to sincerely apologize for the actions of myself and A.N., members of my band, for how we acted last night at your show. Alcohol is not an excuse, and so I will not use it as such. We should have not acted the way we did and disrespected your show and the work you put in like that. This is not something that we do, nor is it something that we intended to do. I just honestly feel terrible for how we acted after being given the opportunity to play at the show. I hope you're able to accept this apology and that we did not do too much harm at the end of the day. Good luck with everything going forward. Sincerely, name here. So that's that was an email I got. Maria is a very funny woman. She also is a producer and host of her own show. Maria, what's the show that you host?
It's very aptly named the Maria Alexander Show. Very unique.
What's the show on Thursday
nights? What's the show that you do on Thursday nights?
It's called Comedy Whatchamacallit. It's every third Thursday of the month at a little neighborhood bar called The Pinch.
Which is about 3 blocks from here.
Yes.
Same neighborhood.
I stay here. This is like, a simple fish. I just don't stray from my reef.
And she lives up the street at 14th. So same neighborhood. Yep. Same. You host a comedy show. What happened at your show last night?
Oh my God. It's like, you know, the world is just charged with just like all this contentious energy. It was a pretty empty show. Which happens a lot.
It happens.
These bars, it's like, especially when the weather gets nice, people don't want to be in a dark cave. But if we got enough people down there to have a nice,
yes,
intimate show. It was going well. Great comics, really good
great
lineup,
comics.
And it was going well. You know, somebody, a man, showed me how to pop your pussy on stage.
That's a thing.
A man showed me.
That's very
Bill
nice.
Metzger showed me how to do that.
Well, now we're naming names. Continue.
Is that not allowed?
Sure.
I want people to know how good he is. He
Find
was proud.
Find him on Twitter, Bill Metzger, for poppin' pussy. Okay, so that's not why you're on the show.
No.
What happened after you got taught a lesson about popping things?
When we were winding down with the show and I was letting my friends on just kind of willy-nilly for open mic style comedy at the end, my good friend Jamel...
Friend of the show?
Friend of the show, friend of everyone, really.
Very likable man.
He's a likable guy. He was telling a joke about an experience he had in an elevator with a young woman.
Okay.
Where she, I believe, tried to initiate oral sex.
Which is a very nice thing to do.
Very loving thing, but he, I guess the joke was that he was conflicted about it as a man because that's how unattractive the young lady was.
And that's the joke.
That was sort of, I think,
that's the premise of the joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whether you like that or not, I mean, he was, you know, doing time and he was doing fine with the audience, but there was a group of people who were sitting close to the stage and not paying attention.
Yes.
Talking amongst themselves. And he started needling a girl, you know, the girl of the group. It was two guys and a girl. And just, you know, he's like, hey, you girl with the glasses, pay attention to me. And she just turned around and very loudly was like, no, I don't want to pay attention to you. Your jokes are sexist and misogynist and boring. And.
Okay, boring is debatable.
Yeah. That's
sexist and misogynistic are the questionable parts of
she did say misogynist, I want to say, for the record. And then, of course, one of our smart-ass friends corrected her. He's like, no, you think you mean misogynist? You know, the second anyone, a comic, smells a heckler, they're just like, who fucking did that?
So, like, so Jamel prodded a woman, and therefore he got some flack from her.
Well, it wasn't just flack. I mean, what happened next, it happened so fast. It was like one of those things where you don't know how the accident happened.
Yes.
You're like, I don't know, a UFO guy. Like, you literally don't know. Just next thing I know, she's standing up. Like, she left her table, and she's, like, aggressively gesticulating at him. Like they're on, like, a talk show, like a daytime talk show.
Of course.
Like, and then suddenly there's, like, a side fight going on between the guys that were with her and the rest of, like, the comedians sitting in the audience. And, you know, everyone's just basically yelling about, you know, women's rights and whether women can walk out. Like, she was like, look, I have to think about getting raped every time I get dressed. You don't know what it's like. And he's like, I'm just telling a joke. And she's like, it's not a joke. Every time you make a joke like that, you're diminishing me. And now you're telling me I have to listen to you. You fucking listen to me, man. Like, it just exploded. Her guy friends, and they're like, yeah, let her fucking talk. But then meanwhile, they're talking over her. And then she's like, no, no, you're talking over me too. Fuck you. So, like, it was the equivalent of, like, a verbal saloon fight where nothing made sense. Everyone's just yelling at each other. Comics are, like, practically just, like, jumping out of their seats. And suddenly I felt bad for this girl because all these men, you know, that she's upset about, you know, suppressing her little voice, they're talking over her. So I just kind of like sidled over. And meanwhile, this is my show and it's deteriorating, you know. I could have cried and left, but instead I gave her the microphone.
And?
I gave the girl a microphone. She came up on the stage and she, I mean, she gave the most boring rant ever, you know.
Yeah.
It was so predictable. She was just like, went on about fascism and about how society conditions people to, you know, only judge women by their appearance and how men don't have to deal with it and how she's an anarchist. But meanwhile, I really want to say for the record, the three people who are anarchists were dressed identically the same. All of them. And they were like saying, talking.
So there's a uniform for anarchy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was just very interesting because, of course, you know, and then people started taking turns and like Ahmed went up on the microphone and had a debate with her about different types of inequality. I mean, honestly, it went on all night. The few people that remained were, you know, shaken. It, like, it turned into like a thinking sad show instead of a comedy show.
Well, thank you for taking back the night for us. I really appreciate that. That didn't land. Okay, thanks. That's scary.
Yeah.
This is what we do now. All we do is produce essentially public forums for people to air their grievances.
Yeah.
And it's a thing we do.
Well, I think I want to make that a thing where, like,
Okay.
Like, we make a show that's like specifically like build. It's like the gimmick is that it's an offensive show where, like, not necessarily blue, right? Mm-hmm. But just where you talk about things that are really get under people's skin.
People are going to love to come to that show. It's going to be great.
The gimmick is that if you're in the audience, you have to shut up. You can't heckle. You got to shut the fuck up. But then if you want.
Wait, stop. Shouldn't that be every show?
Especially this show. Okay. We'll be like, it'll be like a gladiator, like death match between audience and like performers, right?
Oh, please don't do this.
This is going to be my show. What?
No,
guys.
No, don't do this.
And then people at the end will have a chance to do like 2 minutes of their own counterpoints to anything they hear.
That's scary.
The thing about it that I loved, honestly, is that instead of like people weren't calling each other like stupid or ugly, like people were actually trying to make points. And,
okay,
like, they cared so much. And something about that struck me as, like, somewhat redeeming.
Okay.
About how awful it was.
Well, I'm glad that you were hosting that show and not someone else. You're a very fine host. You're a very fine comic. I highly recommend following Maria on Twitter. That's how I found out about this show. I think most people have a Twitter schedule every day. I do the work emails. I do that, and then I check the Twitter.
Yeah.
Maria is great in the morning.
She's great in the morning.
She seems to tweet a lot on the way to work, and it's very funny. And I saw this around 8:30 this morning. I was like, what the? You please come on the show and tell me. We are sadly producing the same type of show these days.
It's just a thing. People want a voice, I think. People want to critique art. There's a lot more scrutiny on comedy lately.
It's fun, isn't it?
It's interesting. It makes it interesting.
You have to go to another show as well.
I have to go, yeah.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank
you. Listen
to
the Maria Alexander Show. Follow her on Twitter.
Woo!
Ahmed, please, if you will,
thank you.
Please come to the stage. The next guy coming to the stage, I wouldn't call him a friend. We've known each other for roughly 3 years. He didn't do the show until last week, and I feel horrible about that experience because he's one of the funniest people in Washington, D.C., and his first experience with You, Me, Them, Everybody was fucking horrible. Ahmed, how are you?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
Do you want to do time?
No.
Exactly. I figured as much. That's why we're going to do this. Now, Ahmed.
Adam wants me to do time, and it's very – that's awesome, but
how about this?
If
you're willing, I'll book you for a real show, one of our real ones where, like, normal guest, comic, band, in order. You'll do time, and that's when people will hear you doing time. Is that okay with you? If you're willing.
Okay.
There you go. He will do time in the future if he's willing. Open invitation. Okay. Number one, sorry about last week.
It's fine. I mean, it happens. It was a weird experience, but I mean, it happens.
I left about halfway through your set.
Yeah, I noticed that. I figured that I saw that they were being disruptive, and at one point I saw them talking to you.
Yes.
So I figured you were like, fuck this, I'm getting out of here.
No, it was more fuck this, I got to do wedding shit. That's why I wasn't hosting. It wasn't personal.
I mean, I saw that happen, and I was like, man, same. Like, I wish.
But you didn't give up.
No.
You didn't give up. You were supposed to do 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think you did 10.
Oh, dang.
And in a good way. You were able...
A lot of it was talking to them.
But you got back to your material while talking to them and didn't give up. Thank you for doing that.
No problem. It was a weird experience. Like, I really didn't know they were the band until, like...
I don't usually book that type of show. I didn't book that show, but my name's on it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're very, very funny.
Thank you.
Why do you think we didn't get along when I first moved here?
I don't know. Like, I didn't think it was a big deal. What's funny? What's funny, Maria? I remember you asked me to do the show, and I said no for the same reason I've refused to do the show the entire time, which is I don't like this part.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. Like, I mean, I didn't tell you, but I also didn't think it would be a thing. I thought I'd just be like, no, thank you. I don't want to do your show.
Oh,
but
I'm
whatever.
Sorry. No.
And then it turned into a thing. And then I was like, all right, that's fine.
For the listener at home.
I have no problem with people not liking
me. For the listener in the room, we never had a conversation about this.
No.
Ever. This is the first one.
Yes.
You've done the open mic I hosted for 18 months. I think you were there almost every month.
Yeah.
And you were very good, and you tried, and the only time
I tried.
That's not the norm at most open mics, and you know that.
Yeah.
That's not a judgment on you. That's a judgment on most comics. You always delivered. You delivered on this show last week, and in addition to that, you gave me one note in the history of me knowing you. Why did you book a certain comic whose set I had to cut from this show?
Yeah, that was the only conversation we've ever had.
And it started with you on stage going, hey, we're not really friends. Why did you book that guy? You knew he'd be horrible.
Yeah, no, because I needed to know. I was like, everyone knows. Because like I said, like I didn't do this show because like I don't like the idea of my name being on something on the internet never really jived with me. Like,
are you worried about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, if you want, I'll cut this out of the podcast.
I mean, whatever you want.
No, it's your life.
No,
I'm not afraid of it.
Because this is just an interview. Like,
this
I mean, like, comedy stuff.
Are you worried that you're going to, like, burn through 8 minutes and you can't use them again?
No, I just don't want stuff to be on before I'm happy with the stuff I'm doing.
That makes sense. Why didn't you tell me that?
I mean, I didn't feel like I had to. I just politely declined your show and just went on my way.
Fair enough.
I've declined tons of shows and never had it be a problem.
How long have you been doing stand-up?
4+ years.
4+ years. How many times have you said no?
It's probably a lot easier to count the many times I've said yes to something.
Fair enough. How often have you said yes?
To like things that have been recorded comedy wise. One.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? You just don't think you're ready?
Yeah.
But you're really funny.
I mean, thank you. But I don't want to put myself out there before I'm fully right, before I'm happy with what I'm going to put out there. It's like quality control, I guess.
Why did you say yes to Foodie knowing it would be recorded?
I actually said no to him first.
Really?
Yeah. And he was like, all right, I'll get Dave Moktoy instead. And then after an hour of thinking, I was like, well, this is my friend, and he asked me for a favor, so I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
And
so you didn't really want to do it, and even though you didn't want to do it, you still delivered a very good set.
I didn't want to do it, but I agreed to do it, so I'm not going to, you know...
You're a man of your word.
Shit intentionally, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people that... Foodie, for example, did that.
I mean, it's...
I got an email about that. I'm not putting words in his mouth. I'm going to read those words once we're done. Do you think we could become friends? Or is it too far long?
I don't know what friends is. I'm barely friends with like a lot of people.
Where do you live?
Alexandria.
How is living in Alexandria?
Awful.
Why do you live in Alexandria?
I can afford it.
Fair enough. Do you think that we would hang out more if you were in the district proper?
I would probably hang out with a lot more DC comics if I lived in the DC area proper.
DC guys, yeah! DC, give it up for the District of Columbia. Thank you guys. Okay, thanks for doing the show. Okay. I would love for you to do the real version of the show, if you're willing. If you're not, we could do a bit where it's where you just comment on a current event, so we could burn through material that you don't need to worry about, or not. You look really worried right now.
I don't know about worried as much as uncomfortable with the idea of me doing anything that's being recorded.
That's so interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm the comic that doesn't like being put out there.
Okay, this is that makes that last week's show even worse. But
no,
in a way,
wonderful
for you. Because
Adam saw last week. I was devastated afterwards because I was like, not only did I feel like it wasn't a good enough performance from me, but I felt like this is going to be the first thing on the internet that has my comedy, that has my name on it, and it really sucks that it's going to be a part of something that turned out
horribly.
Like, horribly.
Horribly. Well, I promise you that will not be released. I promise you that, unless for some sick reason you want to hear horrible things in an audio format.
No, I'm all right.
All right, good. People should follow you on Twitter. No?
No.
Fair question. Fair question. If you don't want people to follow you on Twitter, why are you on Twitter?
It's just a random thought depository. Like a lot of it's really bad.
No, it's not.
No, it really is.
Well, here, if you want to figure it out for yourself. We're not going to give the name. I won't link back to it.
Okay.
How about that?
Cool.
This is interesting to me that you're like against promotion and.
Yeah. No, I don't do it. It's. I'm having a. Whenever we do a. You know, Reggie and I do the show here. Don't Block the Box. And,
last Friday of the month, by the way.
Can
I plug that? I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah.
They'll be here on Friday, May 31st.
May 31st.
Yes.
Yeah. And I rarely put myself on it, but the few times I am, like this upcoming month, I really fight with myself promoting it because it's like I do want people to come, but I don't want people to know I'm on it. So it's weird.
How about once you're ready to talk about this stuff, I'd love to do an in-depth thing about this.
Okay.
Because I find this very, very fascinating and the exact opposite of 90% of comics.
Yeah, no, I understand that, like, every comic just wants to put as much out there with their name and hope it's funny. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So much. That's, like, the thing. I just don't want to. I really don't want to.
Kind of like Norm Macdonald. Like, you won't record an album until you're, like, 50.
Yeah.
Or Leno. Leno doesn't do that. That's why he never recorded an album.
The fact that The fact that Louis can be so funny in a year every year is so crazy to me because I see so many people try it now that just fail at it.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
There you go. He didn't get this good until he was 40.
Yeah, but he's also been doing it a lot longer.
Little bit longer. little bit. You started at 24. You started at 20.
Mm.
It's 4 years. That's not that big of a deal.
Mm.
You're already very funny.
Mm.
Okay. He's a guy. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. How do I say your last name correctly? Hoodie, bro? No. Cleveland is not Rock. If you've been to Cleveland, take it back. Ahmed, how do I say your last name correctly?
It's Sweeter, bro.
Please say that again.
It's Sweeter, bro.
Okay. Don't follow him on Twitter.
Correct.
Please put your hands together for Ahmed, everybody. Thank you, Ahmed. I really appreciate it. Tisdale, come up here. This was from last week's host and booker, Michael Foody. Before I read this, I want to preface that I think Michael Foody is one of the funniest people in Washington, D.C., and I really like him as both a comic and as a friend. Hey, sorry that my hosting the podcast was something of a fiasco. I didn't have a good understanding of what was actually required to put the show together and didn't take the project as seriously as I should have. If nothing else, I have more appreciation for what you were able to put together week after week. Thank you, Michael Foody. There's no need to apologize. This is a fucking weird show no matter what. Jen Tisdale, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay. See, you weren't here last week.
No, I don't
have... Do you wish you were?
I do. I don't have any of these crazy stories.
Are you sure?
I have crazy stories outside of comedy, obviously. That's my whole life. This might be the most sane thing I do, which is sad.
Why is that sad? We've hosted this show together with a man that we referenced with Ahmed just now. I would like to talk about that show that we did. It was one of the first times that Jen Tisdale was part of the show as not a guest.
Okay.
We had a comic on stage.
Are we going to say his name?
No, we're going to say M.
Come on.
No.
Because did you know that there's a fake Twitter going around started by Nick Mullen? Because and I'll say Nick Mullen till the cows come home. And Nick got a hold of the audio. It resurfaced.
Let's resurface. Let's give him the background. This show that you're at right now and you're listening to is called You, Me, Them, Everybody. We record it live in many different cities. This is episode 285.
I believe you.
We do 3 to 4 a month in Washington, D.C. We do Chicago, New York, Baltimore, Philly, L.A. That's it. Jen is the co-host, was the co-host in Washington, D.C. Now Jen is essentially a part of the show. She's become the Christopher, was the guy from SNL? His daughter, Chris Elliott. Adam and Jen have regular segments every single week on this show. It gives them 8 minutes to do whatever they want, 8 minutes to do something brilliant, and they always deliver. We also have stand-up comics every week. They don't always deliver.
No, they don't.
95%.
No, but sometimes they deliver other little gifts.
They do.
Angry.
Sometimes they know, like, this wasn't funny. I'm really sorry. That's okay. I get it. Sometimes they murder, and it's amazing, and I feel wonderful that they're in my life.
Yeah.
Jen's one of those people.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sometimes we have a comic that tries to fight the entire audience.
Oh, my God.
Jen, what happened last year in spring?
I have such a horrible memory. I really should have re-listened to it.
Please don't.
Well... The best of my knowledge, he wasn't getting the crowd response that he wanted, right?
That is true, yes.
And then it devolved. And I think we all know that when you're not getting what you want, the best way to get it is to insult everyone. I think we can all agree.
Which is what he did.
That's how I get it done every time. So, I mean, I just before I came out here, I was like, I don't have any of these stories. What am I going to do? And the person I'm with was like, who had just listened to this particular podcast also, he was like, all I remember is, the kid said, M loves titties. That's what he remembers.
Yeah. He did a set about everything. He literally covered
every single topic under
the sun.
Now, Brandon, usually I'm saying you vet your comics, but not really. But you've seen them somewhere else, whether it be at the other room that you run.
Yes.
Or somewhere.
Absolutely.
Now, before this particular show, I distinctly remember, like a fucking prophecy, going up to you and saying, Brandon, have you seen this guy do comedy? And you went, no, what? I went, oh, my God.
No, to be fair, this is what happened. This is how we got booked on the show. We were at Bobcat Goldthwait at the former comedy
club. Anytime you're at Bobcat Goldthwait.
Bobcat's awesome. Anything. Don't make fun of Bobcat. And this guy bought me 4 drinks and then proceeded to give me cab money home. So I said, you're booked on the show.
God,
He buttered my biscuit.
Buttered your biscuits,
and
man.
I put him on the show.
This is the lesson that you learn. We took the easy way out, didn't we?
Yeah, I take money for this podcast.
That's what we learned.
Yeah, we're all about Paola.
Now, can I assume that after what you will edit in later is excerpts from the...
No, I will not.
Come on! They're around.
That segment was cut from the podcast.
I know it
completely.
Was, but we have a full...
And then I sent it to, I think, you.
I got, yeah, I had a full
Who then started to pass it around the comedy community.
I know, I didn't...
And 14 months later, people are still listening to it.
Still there. It won't go away. Like AIDS.
What happened on that show?
Like, this is so unfair because you're asking someone who has a terrible memory. All, like...
Who did he insult?
Gay people... Was it black people? Yep. Can I just say everybody?
Yep.
Women?
Yep.
Pick your poison. Like, pick your minority or your oppressed poison.
Got him.
And that is who he covered.
Got
In
it.
In fairness, that was the only equal thing he ever did. Was cover everybody.
He proceeded
with
to,
his hatred.
He proceeded to insult.
It was a beautiful blanket of hatred.
And threatened to fight the wonderful Lisa Margesson's father, who was 60.
Oh my God.
Who was visiting from San Francisco. His exact words are, "You want to fight, old man? I'll take you, old man. I'll kick your fucking ass, old man."
Old people. I was sitting to your left. He was in the middle of both of us. And I just kept leaning back and making eye contact with you, knowing full well that even though this was a burning pile of shit, that it was the best burning pile of shit. And my, still to date, my favorite burning pile.
5 minutes into his 8-minute act, I did the one and only thing I've ever done on 285 episodes of the show. I stopped the comic from performing and I said, "Guys, give him a chance. Oh. 2 more minutes. Just give him 2 more minutes.
Listen, he
We're
hasn't
gonna
covered
get through this.
Puerto Ricans.
We got to hit
we
everything. We have
him...
to be the UN of racism.
Yes,
we have to hit everyone. Everyone has a voice that we have to shit on.
It was a United Colors of Benetton ad. If you hated all the colors of Benetton, just the divided colors of Benetton.
Those 2 minutes did not go as well as I thought.
No, they were the worst.
They were possibly worse than the first six
oh,
combined.
God. We're going to please edit. Just like maybe you could like do that thing where you lower his voice and
no,
like.
No, I can't. I can't. We proceeded to do an
That's
interview.
That's my Bobcat Goldthwait
and
voice
we
again.
We proceeded to do an interview with this comic.
I don't know how. I don't know how.
I remember my first question like it was yesterday. How do you think that went? He said, pretty good. I just don't think they understood me.
That's usually it with hate. With when it comes to hate mongering, Brandon, that's usually the case.
Jen,
I don't understand your acidic rage.
Yeah. Jen, like a fucking champ, also asked the same question. Same response. Her follow-up question was more of a statement, which was just, no, honey, no.
That was, I just was behind him the whole time.
My favorite part of the segment, my favorite part, hands down, was when he started to do a joke about gay people and then transitioned into a joke about African-American people.
Ooh.
And a gay African-American gentleman who was sitting not 5 feet from the stage
so it was
decided
like
to...
It was like a Venn diagram, and that guy was in the middle.
He decided to chime in with the only form of heckling that I found perfect.
I remember
perfect.
Now.
And... he goes, "You think this is so funny? Why don't you try it?" And then he tried it from his table
and
fucking killed.
Well,
just killed. Amazing
that
dude.
That guy nailed it. And he didn't burn any crosses or like put on any sort of, you know, bedding over his boner. If you get what
that
I'm
was
saying.
One of the few times where we had a DJ instead of a house band.
That was our. So maybe the lesson learned is don't get paid to put a comic on and forget the DJs. I guess that was where
the DJ, I don't remember. I don't know if you remember the song he played.
I hope it was Michael Jackson's Black and White or something.
No,
other.
It was better. It was Basement Jack's Where's Your Head At? And if you listened to back on the show, you could hear...
We can't. You won't.
No. I
you
cut
won't
him
let
out.
Us.
I right. cut him out, but you could hear the rest of the show. It's a all great right. show. The audience just erupts in laughter as soon as you hear Where's My Head At? And on the podcast, it makes no sense why.
No.
But in the room, oh God, it made sense. Adam Friedland proceeded to come up and do a bit all about what had just happened. It was killer. Jen proceeded to witness that and lose all respect for me as a talk show host and producer.
Not at all. I wanted more of that. My two favorite shows of this show were like the most awkward and acidic because the other favorite was, of course, the Sean Gray episode.
Oh, my God. That was the worst episode
Which involved
ever.
A lot of just insulting a handicapped man. So I guess we should have had M in for that one.
Yeah.
Because maybe he didn't cover the handicap.
There you
I
go.
Don't know.
So, Jen is a very funny stand-up comic who has to actually
Thanks.
Run to do a different show.
We're all doing
you should
this
definitely
show.
Follow her on Twitter. She's also very funny in the morning, like Maria. Jen, what's your Twitter handle?
All day, I'm funny. Jen, 2 N's, _, it's embarrassing, Tisdale. Underscores are so embarrassing
it
on
is kind
Twitter.
Of embarrassing.
What is
but
that?
But she's very, very funny, and I highly recommend
Thank
it.
You.
You can see her here next week.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen,
Thank
please put
you.
Your hands together for Jen Tisdale. Ruth Rasby, please come to the stage, Ruth. You are being summoned. Ruth Rasby is a very funny stand-up comic, and Ruth Rasby is here almost every time we're here, and she has a horrible job of doing warm-up before the show.
Is this an interview?
This is an interview. We're going to talk about what happened.
Okay, I was here for all of those shitty shows.
You were here. You were here. Please take a seat.
I'm taking a seat. I just have to.
Do you have a new phone?
Yeah, I did get a new phone, man.
Very nice. You need a case on this. No, for the listener at home, Ruth Resby is carrying a white iPhone 4S.
Hey, thanks.
But she needs a new case because this is going to get damaged really fast. Anyways, Ruth, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty fabulous. Hey.
What? I can't look through your phone?
No, you can't look through my
okay.
phone.
Ruth, sometimes I don't even ask you. You just show up.
Yeah.
Because I gave you an open invitation to do warm up anytime you want.
It's my own personal open mic, and I appreciate
exactly.
it.
Exactly. She lives about a half a block away.
I watch a lot of soccer.
I think she's very funny, and she hosts a show every Tuesday night.
Yeah,
once a month.
I host an open mic every Tuesday night, weekly.
Called The Puke?
Burp.
Burp. Sorry, burp. Sorry, sorry. That wasn't meant to be. Burp. Sorry. You can understand how I could confuse the two.
Puking and burping?
Four letters.
Yeah, no, that's true. And you know, if you have a good burp and you find a tabletop and just like cover your mouth to the tabletop and burp, people think you're puking.
There you go.
And
see,
it's a great
same
prank.
Idea. So Ruth has a horrible job here, which is doing opening for a show that a lot of people don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's true.
You do this by choice.
True.
I never. I like that you do it.
Cool.
I always give you an opportunity. It doesn't matter if there's three comics or one. I want you doing the show.
Awesome.
You did it last week.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to still do the opening last week?
Actually, you know what? I think they liked me the most out of the comics. It might have been because I was a girl. But yeah, why did I do it last? They walked in the middle of my set. They walked, you know, the shit vignette jokes. I've got a few jokes about scatological topics.
Yes.
And they walked in right after the first one and said, "That's so disgusting." And I think that's when they weren't here when I started. It was just like eight comics and me. So it was different.
Why do you want it? Why do you do this? Why do you open for this show?
Because it's easy time.
Is it fun?
Yeah.
Or is it just like a learning? Is this like your training
fun
camp?
Is something I'm saving for my 30s along with happiness, success.
How old are you, Ruth?
I'm 26.
Why'd you have to think about that? Did she just turn 26?
Because I turned 27 in July, and I just had to do a little math.
Future birthday.
Yeah. I have a birthday every year. It's
That's
really
crazy.
Cool.
That's really nice.
Just keep getting older.
Do you enjoy this, or are you just doing it for the time?
I enjoy it. I think it makes it it makes me stronger because it's good to like, is this really what we're going to do? We're having a talk. Okay.
What did you want to do?
I came here thinking I would do warm up, but that's fine. I like to win over the tables that weren't here for the show.
Do you really like doing that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's good because there's only usually a few people here, so it's not really crowd work, but it helps me with audience reading. Like, you can see people, like, being able to read your audience, I think, is it's hard and it's important because if you can't always tell when people are like, oh my god, that is so offensive, I can't believe she's saying that, like, that's funny, that's great, like, the oh, you're so stupid sort of shit. But then there's the other side of like, oh my god, you are so offensive, like, I'm getting it. And like, I have trouble reading that just in life, but it's especially hard from the stage because there's more like lights and stuff. So it's good for that. I've been better at body language.
When a band of drunken 25-year-old white guys come in, how do you approach that?
I do not approach that.
What if they're louder than everybody else?
Well, honestly, I didn't have to deal with them that hard. Like, they kind of talked through my set at the end and then hit on me when I went back to get a drink.
That's
like,
really
that was
nice. That's really nice.
It wasn't, it was fairly stupid.
You got hit on. That's really nice.
Oh, you're so funny. I'm like, you talked through my set. How would you know that?
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Did they threaten to fight you too?
Nope.
Oh.
I don't inspire violence in a lot of people.
Has anyone ever threatened to fight you after a set?
Not after a set, but, I have, when you're talking about these, my worst show I did, I was doing drag at the time. It was a dumb decision to impress someone, but I did that, you know, that, Sublime song, Caress Me Down?
Yes.
Mucho Gusto. Okay. So I was doing that song and I was wearing a fake dick on stage and it was kind of a DIY style. And so I went to pull it out and then she pulled out my mushroom tip. But the thing is, I just castrated myself and I didn't know what to do. So I threw it into a crowd of lesbians. It was that phase. And I hit this girl in the face. And after the...
Is that a hate crime?
She was really mad at me like it was. And I was like, dude, I'm sorry you took dick to the eye.
After you did it, did you really open with dude?
No, I didn't. Well, I might have... I don't know. I do like to say dude a lot, especially when I'm trying to be cool so people don't hate me.
But I was like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know what to do. There was a penis in my hand, and I was in front of a bunch of... It was on my 23rd birthday, too.
Happy birthday.
What?
Sorry.
This is a really non-linear interview.
I know. I like those.
Okay, cool. But yeah, no, that... She was really mad. She said it hurt. And I was well, I'm not really that surprised. Like, in hindsight, I'm not surprised that a lesbian was mad about me throwing a penis at her. But you think she would have been a little more open-minded being, you know, a homosexual.
Well, we learned a lot.
Yeah, I did.
The fact that you came back this week was both shocking and made me happy.
What do you mean? Okay.
I'm just glad.
Now I feel bad that I'm doing warm up for your room. Like, I should go out and do more things.
No. I want you to keep doing it. It's good for me.
Okay.
I'm being very selfish. It's very good for me that when you do warm up.
No, it's good. I don't smoke pot after I get off work on Fridays because I come here.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I don't do set stoned.
Will you come back next week and not do a set stoned?
Hey, always, man.
Thank you so much. People should follow you on Twitter or no?
No, don't follow me on Twitter. You can Facebook friend me.
Go to Cause.
Oh, yeah. Go to Cause, the Philothram. They give money to people for good things.
They're on 9th Street. It's a great...
Yeah, it's a pretty cool bar.
Great bar. They've been open almost a year now.
Yeah.
Great group of people. And what they do is a percentage of all sales goes to a charity, and they rotate charities, too.
Yeah, it's a good mic. We try not to abuse our audiences, so show up. And I'm producing a Laugh Your Grits Off show every third Sunday at Desperados.
Awesome. You got a lot going on.
Yep.
Ruth, thank you so much for doing this. David, come up here, please. I'll take the mic, Ruth. Thank you so much. Take your beer. Don't forget the Genesee Cream, the worst beer that's served at the Wonderland Ballroom. David Carter, is that your name?
Yes, it is.
Use the microphone.
Yes, it is.
You've done this show before?
Yes, I have.
When you performed on this show, you did a very good job.
Thank you very much.
People laughed. People liked it.
Thank you very much.
Why did you want to come back tonight? You just wanted time?
I like the show, and I would always love time anywhere I can have it, but I do like this show.
What was your worst show experience ever?
Ever. God. I would have to say down in Virginia Beach where I started getting a bunch of thumbs up from different people, different shows to do. And every Wednesday night after my home club's regular show, we would have an Apollo night.
Okay.
Now, Apollo night, as you're well aware, is code for African-American comedy.
Showtime at the Apollo is a famous television show. It's shot at the Harlem Theater, or at the Apollo Theater in Harlem. Famous acts have gotten their start there. Jackson 5, probably the most famous, but a lot of performers, mostly African-American, have come through the Apollo and done an amazing job.
Very much so. There's a culture behind it and a bunch of community of people. And so every club always has an Apollo show. So I got the thumbs up to do it just because... I worked around the show and worked at the show and had a bunch of great sets opening the club around the week. And so I went up and I opened with making fun of another comic who was on the show regularly. And he would always go up with a very smooth jazz song. And his character was basically just... almost an R&B porno star. He would go up and then just sort of smile at the ladies in the audience and sort of rub his chest. And
funny stuff.
Yeah, funny stuff. Has yet to say a joke. Just great funny stuff. And I went up and did that and pretended to be all impassioned by the song. And I would get ironic cheers from the audience because I was clearly the white guy in the room. And I did that for a bit, then started mumbling and babbling, literally the consonants or the beats of rhythm of what a regular Apollo comic would do. And then I just found a white guy in the audience. I pointed him. I did this for half of my set to get him warmed up. And then they were all on my side in the most volatile room. Because all you need really, because much like Bill Burr says, it's not about material, it's about confidence if a white guy is doing an Apollo room. So if you meet him with confidence, the room's not going to be against you. So I met him with that. Then I started doing my material, which was the exact opposite of what they wanted at that time. So all of this good fortune and good feelings I got towards the room was now all that energy flipped on its side and just became like a void of confusion, not negativity, which I can deal with because that's volatile and you can sort of bounce that on its head. But this absence of, but I thought you were with us. I thought you were on our side. Just became the most confusing. So I didn't know what to do with it. And when the audience is with you, you have a rhythm. If they're against you, you still have a rhythm. If they're lost in their own heads, there is absolutely no timing and there's no mirror for the audience there. So I was just sort of continuing and the set ended and the script was there and the jokes were there, but they were met with complete dumbfoundment. And I said goodnight to the host walking back on stage, and the lack of a reaction is much more painful than a positive or negative one. So I walked off doing the best I ever done in that room and then the worst I'd ever done comedically ever.
Yeah.
Because I've never lost people to the point of, did he have a stroke? And I was speaking complete senses. There was no material that was not, I was not being surrealist. I was not being some sort of weird character. I was literally just doing material. I had no idea what was happening. So I walked off just as confused as they were, ironically being on the same page, but a different page as where we started.
What did you learn from that?
What I learned from that is I know how to read a crowd.
That's good.
I know how to play with people. But my material is not for everyone.
That is true, yeah. For sure. You're about to move or no? It's very confusing based on your Facebook posts.
Exactly. I'm just as confused. The plan was to move to New York come August, but just because I need to save a little more money, I may be here for another few months, but I'm going to sublet near the end of the year, and I'm going to live in Chicago come January.
Why Chicago in January? Have you been to Chicago in January?
Yes, and that's exactly why I'm going.
Why?
Because rent reduces so horrifically, it works in my favor.
But you got to live in Chicago. I'm from Chicago.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
We can probably talk afterwards about pluses and minuses.
We'll definitely do that. A good friend of mine is actually from Chicago, too, and that's a great time to move out of Chicago.
That's why it's a great time. That's why it's a great time to move in.
Good luck.
Because
it's you're making a horrible mistake. Horrible mistake.
I can't wait to comment on why I disagree with you later on.
Horrible mistake. Will you do a warm-up next week?
Yes.
Brilliant. People should follow you on Twitter. It's a weird Twitter handle. It starts with an underscore.
Jen does not agree with me on this, but it's an underscore David Carter underscore.
It's a horrible Twitter handle.
It's terrible to say. Incredibly easy to type.
Yes, but your name is so common.
And that's why I went with an underscore, because my name is common, and I would like my name to be the most prominent part about
Fair
it.
Fair enough.
You also don't like my Twitter picture.
David's Twitter picture is him outside the Daily Show, where you wait to go see the show.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the awning, and it's my eyes up. So I look a little bit of a fanboy.
Yeah, but you're a comic, so that's horrible.
You'll also hate this. My Twitter banner on the top is the graffiti on Colbert's wall
that
says, please don't post graffiti.
Yeah, that's horrible. Now, you need to change those two things.
You and I need to talk about how to upgrade my Twitter.
Because you have a potential to work for both of these guys. Mm-hmm. They're not going to want to hire the guy that has weird, shitty graffiti of themselves on the Twitter page.
As soon as I submit a spec script, both of them have my resume. As soon as I submit a spec script.
Make that shit private.
I'll have to. The Twitter handle itself?
Yeah, make it private. I had to make mine private due to work.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, thanks for doing this. Thanks for making it a little bit less weird. I'm really glad you weren't here last week. I feel like you would have lost more.
I wish I was. You know how I like volatile audiences.
It was the worst.
I would have been the middle that Ahmed was.
You couldn't have done anything.
Really?
Yeah, like you can't fight four 25-year-olds with no sense of failure.
Physically, I probably couldn't, but emotionally I could have battered them enough that they would have left.
You're talking to a wall, man. It's not possible.
I love talking to walls.
Sorry, I'm just trying to find some shit here on my phone.
I'm here with you. I love volatile audiences because, like, again, it's something.
It is something.
It's something.
Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. You'll be back here next week. Do you have any other shows you want to plug?
Well, I am Sunday, the 19th, I'm doing a show at the Cellar Door, a restaurant and bar in Frederick, Maryland. And
good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good luck with that. All of our Frederick, Maryland listeners.
There's no listeners. It's a brand new scene. They just found me and said, hey, do this. And I said yes.
Getting paid?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Yay! That's why I said Frederick, Maryland. Yes. All right.
Thank you for doing this. Brandon, please come up here if you're willing to do this. I want to hear you play some music. Thank you. Please put your hands together for the very talented Mr. David Carter, everybody. Thank you, David. Brandon, come to the stage with your little guitar. I've wanted to have Brandon on the show for quite a while. Brandon used to be in Presto Bando. Brandon is currently playing solo. You're also playing, is it a travel guitar? Or do you want to sit or stand, by the way, when you play? You want to sit when you play. Brilliant. I'm going to ask you two or three questions, and then I'm going to get off the stage, and you're going to play some songs. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Hold this while you while we talk. Is that okay?
Sure, definitely.
Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
I used to like your band. I don't like your band anymore because it doesn't exist. but that band might be getting back together.
Yep.
That's good, right?
A few months, I think it might get back together.
You're playing solo these days.
Mm-hmm.
Is it as fun?
It is more fun because I don't have to deal with two assholes.
I get that completely. That's a good thing the band broke up.
Yeah.
Did you ever play drums?
Yep, I started out as a drummer, actually.
Yeah. Would you ever play drums again?
Yeah, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's horrible. See, the thing with the drummers are, like, it's so much fun, obviously. The gear, though, the lugging of the gear seems
that's
horrible.
That's the worst part.
You
yeah.
brought this on your back. You're yeah. playing a travel... Is this a travel guitar?
Yep, it's a little Martin travel guitar.
Yeah, I'm sure it sounds perfectly fine. Like, but you can't do that for drums.
Right. It's yes. a much easier life.
Exactly.
Especially amp-free, play it troubadour style, you know.
Brandon, where are you from?
I was born in D.C., grew
really?
Up in the Rockville area, yep.
Do you find it weird that all these people aren't from here?
I do.
Does that offend you?
I do. I don't like them usually.
I'm very sorry. I don't think anyone on the show tonight has been
yeah.
from here.
Yeah.
I'm very, very sorry. You're going to play some songs. People are going to enjoy it. The listener at home is going to enjoy it. How many you want to play?
Probably like five or so.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. This first song is about wanting to have long hair. All right, now grow it longer, grow it longer. My friends say to grow it longer. Cut it shorter, cut it shorter. My mom says you cut it shorter. Grow it longer, longer, longer. Grow it longer, cut it shorter. Grow it, longer. Do they ring the bells there when they bend? Do they kiss the ground now? What I want to have is really long hair. Grow, fold on the top of my shoulders. Mothers and their babies may excuse themselves this one red time to help you wake your roots up from centuries of exhaustion. Wave your arms around, so make the faster that you breathe become the faster that you meet your maker actually in person, girl. When I am underneath it, the stronger I will feel. What I want to have is long hair that grows and folds on the top of my shoulders. When I am underneath it, the stronger I will feel. What I want to have is long hair, grow full shine on the top of my shoulders. What I want is long hair on my shoulders. What I want is long hair down to my knees. What I want is long hair to my feet. No, don't step on it, please. I want long hair on my shoulder, long hair right down to my knees, long hair to my feet. No, don't step on it, please. Make my flesh all rosy. Yes, the sun may chap my cheek, may squint my lids, but I shall move onward more strongly underneath it. Porch is useful, sitting, come and wind around my house and keep it wrapped like a skirt bottom that doesn't get wet with rain. Flooding, come and poke and dive the pony, come and run against the mister. See it streaming long blades green with specks of dew yellow like honey. Oh girl, when I am underneath it, stronger I will feel. What I want to have is long hair grow a fold on the top of my shoulder. Now when I am underneath it, the stronger I will feel. What I want to have is long hair that grows and folds on the top of my shoulder. What I want is long hair to my shoulders. What I want is long hair to my knees. What I want is long hair to my feet. Don't step on it, please. Long hair to my shoulders. Long hair down to my knees. Long hair down to my feet. Don't step on it, please. Here we go. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. 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 Ba-dum, ba-dum. I wash my love, wash her whole body, whole body, whole body blues. Watch my love, wash her whole body. Man, it never looks so good to me. Woo! Woo-hoo!
her, then I bought her a rose with my own money. Whole body, please bought her a rose with my own money, just like any normal spendthrift would. Don't you fucking think, woo! And she still had the nerve to come up, woo! And ask me, what did she say? I can't remember, I forget. She said, are you devoted? 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 Are you devoted to me? I said, sure now. I think so. I said, of course now. I think so. I said, what do you think? I think so. Write her in pencil, not scented ink. Whole body, blues. Write her in pencil, not scented ink. Because I'm not that girly, no I isn't. No, I ain't. Kiss her each morning and before sleep. Whole body, blues. Kiss her each morning and before sleep, as is required by the jury. Cause I knew if I didn't, it would result in my own physical injury. But hey, if you see, don't say anything, cause everything is good. When I am with my baby, she comes up and she asks me again, what does she say? I can't remember, I forget. Are you devoted? 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 Are you devoted to me? I said, I told you that I think so. She says, guess what? I just don't know. I said, I told you that I think so. She says, guess what? I just don't know. Do you God bless me before each sneeze? Whole body blues. Do you God bless me before each sneeze? I say, how am I possibly supposed to know you're gonna sneeze before it's released? She says, I do that bewitched nose twitch wiggling, that little twinkle twinkle trick. I do that bewitched nose twinkle thing. I say, oh my goodness now. How am I supposed to know these things? You know, if you want me to know these things, you just gotta tell me. I can't be expected to know the certain little cues for how you want your loving. Okay, so I'm fast asleep. Whole body blues, not my whole body. Whole body blues, alright, so I sift through dreams. Whole body blues about my love. And it's plotting about her strange, calling about our love, yes, our love is riding. Woo! I just can't help but ask myself in the end. Are you devoted? 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 Tell me, you know what? I can't say for sure, no, 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 no. Can't say for sure, no, 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 no. Can't say for sure. Thanks. This whole time, I've been playing with your feelings. Yes, sirree. In fact, I will confirm it with some crowing. This whole time, I've been faking my involved intimacy. And now I'm ready for your tears to begin flowing. That's why I bought you these, no, they're not your brand name Kleenex. They're just your simple kind of generic tissue. They still do the trick though, and I bought it in bulk. Baby, like woo around your finger like a ring that I had not even agreed on giving. I mean, come on, baby, what the fuck? This whole time you have polished me, giving me scoldings. Now I am a lesser human being. That is why I'm leaving. So take this, what is the brand name cleaner? So man, that's your simple kind of generic tissue. Cry as much as you need to, it's still a bit cheaper. I buy it and ba 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 ba. Been giving me stirrings. You had things like rat tails, bugs, which are blue earrings, comedy, comedy, gook this whole time. You have salted me, you've given me pepperings, but then you tried me, no, I'm not so good, so feed me to your kitty. So take this, what? A brand name cleaner, no matter your simple color, generic tissue. Cry as much as you need this, it will be cheaper. I'm
got here. I just got a few more for you. I took a train to see a bullfrog in a brand new San Franciscan. I knew my baby, she would be right over there today. She took my brain with her when she left to become one of those brand new San Franciscan kind of ladies. What you gonna do when you see a mule if it's standing right there on the side of the road? What you gonna do when you see the Yuletide coming in the goddamn center? Nobody knows, nobody knows except for the bullfrog. Except for the bullfrog, oh yeah, maybe my baby. So I'll tell you this now, crickets will chirp in the wintertime if they are around the fireplace. None of the laws won't crack, I know they really won't crack. A little left outside in the motherfucking rain. So come on and check out me. That's right, I got a little TikTok, 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 TikTok. Tell me that's right, because I know just when to scream. Cause my baby left with my brain to become one of those brand new San Franciscans. Giddy up, I say to the pickup truck in front of me. Giddy up, man, you better giddy up, man. He's moving all sorts of rocks in my way, my way, my way, my way, my way, my way, my way. Giddy up, I say to the pickup truck in front of me. Says, guess what? San Francisco ain't this way. I don't care, I'll tell him, you better giddy up your pickup truck. I am on my way to San Francisco. Gonna see a bullfrog, maybe see a yuletide, maybe even see a mule, maybe see a mule. You better giddy up your pickup truck. I'm on my way back to San Francisco. Gonna see a bullfrog, gonna see a yuletide, maybe even see a mule. Maybe my baby too. Maybe she kept my brain, maybe she kept it cool. Never did know one thing, never did know one thing. Never did know one thing, never did know one thing anyway. This will be my last one. My name is Brandon Abels. I play in Presto Banda. Look for us to come back in the next few months. Working on a record right now. Alright, my mama once told me, roll in the mud. I told her right back, why don't you roll in the mud? Sister once told me, walk in the grass. I told him right back, they just fertilized it. Father once told me, take a long nap. I told him right back, I just drained down the calf. Mama once told me, roll in the mud. I told her right back, why don't you roll in the mud? She took me to the orchard. That's when she stood me on that stool. She sat me on it. No, she stood me on it. Gave me several haircuts. Gave me several, shaved me several. Taught me how to play by the rules. That's right, she taught me how to play by the rules. Taught me how to play by the rules. Taught me how to play by the rules. Well, my sister once told me to sway so my past is robot-like and shows I have sailor command. Father once told me to chrome on my cans, reveal the CD parts underneath that. Mother once told me to take with my hand and marry the one that will age it the best. Father once told me to coast and pedals, I have energy left to love at the candle. She took me to that orchard, she sat me there, she sat me on the stool. Sat me on it, oh, sat me on it, gave me several haircuts. Gave me several, shaved me several, taught me how to play by the rules. 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 Well, my mama once told me to roll on the mud. Well, I told her right back, why don't you roll on the mud? My sister once told me to walk in the grass. I told her right back, they just fertilize it. Father once told me to take a long nap. When I told her right back, they just ran on the cap. My mama once told me to roll on the mud. When I told her right back, why don't you roll on the mud? I said, my mama once told me to roll on the mud. When I told her right back, why don't you roll on the mud? My sister once told me to roll on the mud. When I told her right back, they just roll on the mud. Mama once told me to roll on the mud. So I told her right back, why don't you roll on the mud? I'll do one more. We'll call it. Songs about graduation anxiety. Chintzy and Pinta. Let's see now. I think that they are almost done with school. That's right now. Chinsey and Pinter. I think they graduate this upcoming June. Well, Chinsey and Pinter, what in the heck are they ever going to find themselves doing? Well, Chinsey wants to be a barber in his hometown, so he gets a razor out, practices shaving the royal balloons, pop, 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 pop. Pinter wants to be somebody on the dry land, maybe a mailman, maybe he doesn't know yet, maybe he will find out soon, okay? Chinsey and Pinter, well, they have set sail, they have capsized, and now they are called bobbers, yes. Chinsey and Pinter, where they get bit at by fish like they're worms, pecked at by big white seagulls. Chinsey and Pinter hope they don't get eaten up by a whale and swallowed up with a side of rice-sized plankton. That's right, we're going deeper, they're going deep. We're going deeper, they're going deep. We're going deeper, they're going deep. Humpa, 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 humpa. Chinsey wants to be a pauper, he's outside, he's begging for his toils. He eats a lot of leftovers, and for a mirror he uses the muddy road. Splash, splash. Pinter wants to be somebody with a capital S, the kind that would begin a biographic description of his person. Chinsey in love floats away like it's on some balloon strings. You play with your love, woo! You play with your boy and see, man, I'm telling you, Pinter, Pinter, your love daily mail and enter the sweepstakes. XXO triple OXO double OX, except Sunday. Well, Chinsey and Pinter, they have both aged outward like wood. I don't beat around no bush. Chinsey and Pinter, where they want to be cut down and built upon, absorbed into the literature, into the canon. Well, Chinsey says to Pinter, man, I hope we get used as a chair and a table and not burned for warmth. Chinsey wants to have a daughter that can do some handstands and do some cartwheels, some loop-de-loops, have good health through all ages. Pinter wants a quiet stage in each of his decades so he can realign himself. He balances up the deeds he does each day. He keeps sharpening. Chinsey of love floats away like it's on some balloon strings. You play with your love, woo, woo. You play with your boy and see, man, I'm telling you, Pinter, Pinter, your love. Well, it tastes like rain except a little more salty. XXO double XO triple OX, except Sunday.
All right. I'm Brandon Hamill. Thanks.